I've been impressed through the years with several scriptures about the coming of the Lord. And I'd like to bring them tonight with the help of the Lord. Try not to be too lengthy with it, but yet it's a great subject. I want to notice Philippians chapter 3. If you'll turn with me. This is a wonderful chapter. I have really appreciated it. It's been inspiring to my heart through the years. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to start with verse 7. Philippians 3 and 7. Now I want you to read with me if you have your Bible. And pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is declaring and bringing out. What things were gained to me? He had just spoke about what he had had in his law experience before he found Christ. But he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, I want you to notice that word win. It means to possess, to have in reality. He gave up all that he had hung to under the law. He told about it, he named them there. But he said he gave all of them up and just counted them as dung, as trash. Because he saw in Christ that Christ had something that none of that had. And so therefore he gave it all up so that he could win or possess Christ. But that's not all. Let's listen. And be found in him. I want to possess Christ. I want to have him as my own treasure. But I also want to be found in him. In Christ. Within Christ's jurisdiction and his law, his spiritual law and power and grace. I want to be inside of that, possessed by that. But that's not all. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. I want the righteousness that is of faith. That points back to Abraham, to Noah, to Moses, to those faithful ones of old. I want to have that righteousness of faith. The righteousness which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. But that's not all. That I may know him. Now let me tell you something. I have found there is an attitude that some people get and just kind of think they've got it made. You don't do that with Christ. You keep seeking and keep reaching out and keep earnestly, yearningly longing for him. That I may know him. Know, be acquainted, have fellowship, have understanding, have light and knowledge about him. That's not all. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know and experience that power of his resurrected life in my soul. Resurrecting me from sin and the world and the flesh and the devil and self, I want to be in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's not all. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to suffer as he suffered. You ever stop to think about what Jesus suffered? How he bore the cross, gave his life, let him take him out and nail him to the cross. He didn't try to stop him. I want to fellowship his suffering. I want to suffer like he suffered, willingly, obediently. I don't want to try to save my life. You ever think about what some of Jesus said? He says, it's recorded several times. He says, if you save your life, you'll what? You'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, Jesus said these words, you'll save it. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. You ever stop to think about it? This whole world, the whole medical world, is their goal is to save a life. And people go, and that's all they want. They just save my life. That's the main. No, that's not the main thing. You got to be willing to lose your life for Christ. Did Christ try to save his life? Did he? He didn't try to save his life. He was willing to lose it. Peter defended him. You remember how Peter took a sword and was trying to defend Jesus, and he cut a man's ear off? What did Jesus say? That's the way, Peter. That's good. You're just going to help me. Is that what he said? Peter, put up your sword. All they that take the sword will perish with the sword. He said, don't you know that I could call to the Father and he had presently sent me, what? 12 legions of angels. That's what he said. If I wanted to save my life, I could call for 12 legions. What if Jesus would have done that? Where would we be? He knew that. That's what he came into the world for, was to give his life, lay it down willingly, obediently, cheerfully, faithfully. Fellowship of his suffering. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to give your life? Fellowship of his sufferings. No, that's not all. Listen. Being made conformable unto his death. Or in other words, die like Jesus died. Are you willing to do that? That's what the Apostle Paul, that was his purpose, the thing he endeavored to come to pass in his life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, to die like he died. You don't hold on to your life and get somewhere with God. You be willing to give your life. That's the way Jesus did. Well, you say, well, Jesus did that and I don't have to do it. Yes, you do. I do. I don't want to save my life. I don't want to go to the doctor and have operations and take medicine and try to save my life. I don't want that. I want to trust the Lord all the way and be faithful to him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, why did he have all that in his mind and purpose? If by any means, read it now, verse 11. If by any means, by all these means here that he just listed, if by any means I might attain unto what? The resurrection of the dead. In other words, I want to be resurrected from the dead like Christ was. I want to defeat death and the grave. I tell you what, that has been a message to me that has stirred my heart and has helped me to see what is this all about? This life on earth is going to be gone one of these days. When Jesus comes again, it's going to melt just like that. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, that doesn't stop there. Not as though I had already attained. I'm not thinking, oh, I've got it made. I'm going to be all right. Don't think that. Be diligent. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. I don't feel like I'm perfect and have got everything made. I'm not feeling that way. What is it? But I follow after. In other words, you could say here, I pursue. I seek earnestly for. I follow after. If that I may apprehend. What does that word mean? Lay hold of, possess that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Christ apprehended, laid hold on me and called me. Now I want to get what he got me for. I'll tell you, dear one, this living a Christian life is no little thing. It's serious. Brethren, goes on. I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't think, oh, I've got it made. Well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Everything's going to be all right. Okay, feel that way, but don't forget the things you need to be working on while you're here. Endeavoring to lay hold on. If I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Here's what Paul had in his mind. Forgetting those things which are behind the past and reaching forth unto those things which are before, committed the past, yesterday, reaching forth to what's before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am pressing. I want to be ready when he comes. I want to be accepted of him when he comes. I want to be faithful to him. This was Apostle Paul's example, that it would do good for us to diligently, earnestly, fervently pursue and follow after. He goes on down. Verse 17 says, be followers together of me. You want them to do as he did for an example. And then it says in verse 18, he calls to mind what he saw in many people. And I see this today. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. It was just sad to see how people are throwing away the hope that they could have and disregarding it just for these old earthly pleasures, earthly things. I tell you now, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Now what does that mean? Whose God is their fleshly appetites. That's what he's saying. Did you know that's the God of many people? The flesh and the satisfaction, the lust of the flesh, that's their God. Their God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. And then he goes on, for our conversation, that word conversation is really meaning, in the Greek, it means our citizenship is in heaven. You're not, you say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States. Yeah, but it doesn't mean very much. That's just temporary. But our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these vile bodies. Not the word vile doesn't mean sinful and wicked. It means corruptible. Vile is this corruptible. He's going to change. When he comes, he's going to change. You think about the great power that the Lord Jesus Christ has, that when he comes, he's going to resurrect the dead and change those in that are alive. He's going to change them to their eternal state. If they're saved, if they're righteous, if they're godly, if they're holy and they're pure, they'll be changed to immortality. Change these vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's what Christ is going to do. He's going to come and he's going to subdue. He's going to destroy death. He's going to destroy all this old wicked world. It's going to pass away. And he's going to bring all mankind before him. Oh, God, help us, Lord. It means so much to live with that wonderful, eternal day in mind. May the Lord help us. I just wanted to read that. I got another one or two I'd like to. I want to notice Romans chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 18. Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What we suffer here is nothing compared with the glory that we will be blessed to have when he comes. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now that earnest expectation, I have two other words that to me fits right in. Intense anticipation. Intense, fervent anticipation, hope, expectation. Our earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the earnest expectation. We're living for that. That's our goal. That's our hope. That's our anchor. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing. The creature, this old fleshly body, the human, is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. He has subjected us to this suffering and this humiliation and this dying and death. He has subjected that in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation, all mankind, everything is just going down. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the sonship of eternal life, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what we're looking for. He's going to do that when he comes. He's going to change these old corruptible mortal bodies, bones and flesh and organs and awful things. He's going to change that to immortal. Now, I don't know all about that immortal, but it's going to be good and wonderful. It'll be worth everything you ever have to suffer and go through to be counted worthy to be immortal. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's wonderful. We have a blessed hope of something beyond this fleeting world. Oh, may the Lord help us. I want to notice Luke says something that Jesus said that the other writers don't just say it like that. And I want to notice that in Luke 21. He's talking about the coming of the Lord here. He's just speaking about that. And let's see. Verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then on down in verse 34, notice. Well, verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, listen, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. You know what that is? Big eating. Be careful. Take heed, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, overeating, and drunkenness. Not only in liquor and all, but drunk on pleasures and things of the world and all this here. No, don't let that be. Surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Listen, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, of the whole earth. It'll come. The coming of the Lord will just come suddenly. Watch ye therefore. This is what he says. Now the other writers talking about the coming of the Lord doesn't say these words. This is good. And I think it's right. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to what? Stand before the Son of Man. That's going to really mean something. To stand, to escape the destruction of the world, and to stand before the Son of Man. Lord, help us today. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I want to go now, my final text. There's other texts that we could use, but I want to notice the third chapter of 2 Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He said there's going to be people talk that way. For this they willingly are ignorant. They are ignorant and they're willing to be ignorant. They're not trying to look and have any better thought. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's talking about Noah's time. Water, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And then in Noah's time, not only did the rain fall, but the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the water just started coming up and covering the earth. Just think about that. He's calling that to mind. But then, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word. See, back there, by the word of God, it was worth out of the water and in the water. Now the heavens and earth, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. In other words, fire is kept back off of this present earth and heavens. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It is being kept back by the word of God, by the same word. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is so good. He is holding back, but it's going to turn loose and come. Now listen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpected, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Boom! It'll be worse than that. It'll be a great noise. They'll just pass away. Just boom! You ever stop to think about it? We're facing something when you talk about the end of time. Don't be just self-satisfied and think, oh, I'm going to be all right. You better do some praying about it and ask the Lord to help. Lord, help me. I do. I pray, Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to be able to meet this awful thing that's coming. Count me worthy, Lord, to escape. I tell you, dear ones, this is serious business. This is what we're living for. The day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All these old cars, trucks, all these houses, buildings, highways. Well, we got a network of highways. It's just, and cars and big old trucks and airplanes, and what's going to happen? Everything in the earth and everything in it's going to boom! Now, if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, well, pray for me that I'll get better understanding. But this is what I believe, according to what we read here. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? All holy way of living, how you talk, how you act, how you deal with others, all holy conversation and godliness. What manner of persons, seeing all this is going to be dissolved, looking for and hasting. Now, I get that thought from that scripture. Lord, hurry up and please come soon. You ever say that? You ever have that kind of feeling? It says here, looking for and hasting. And that word hasting means hurrying it up. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements will be dissolved, and they'll pass away. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you looking for that? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Our Father, you know what these scriptures mean to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us all. You're coming soon. You're going to bring an end to this fleeting world. It's going to melt away just like that. Lord, help us to be counted worthy to attain to the resurrection, to be changed to immortality. Help us, Lord. Help us to be godly, holy, humble, meek, kind, merciful, pure. Lord, help us all. Come soon. Come soon, Heavenly Father. Let your judgment day come soon. Help us to be ready. Help us to be faithful and true, holy and righteous. Lord, bless us all tonight. We've had a wonderful meeting. We thank you for it. But, oh God, we've got something to look forward to. Help us to be counted worthy to attain to the resurrection of the dead. In Jesus' precious name, amen.